joining us on the call, and just wanted to talk about a little bit about what's going on here. What I'm saying on the campaign trail is the issue of the anniversary of Obamacare is here, and with the Supreme Court arguments underway, and wanted to focus in on what I think is the central issue in this campaign, which I talk about all the time, which is government control of the economy and of people's lives and of creating dependency and really systematically regulating and destroying the economy of this country, leading to the high energy prices, high rates of unemployment, the skyrocketing cost of health care, and now the cost of living, generally speaking, going up as a result of the spike in energy prices. And the fact that we have one candidate in this race who has consistently supported a strong and free market approach to solving the health care problems in this country, and then we have one who is the author of the first government takeover of healthcare in the country's history, and who defended that takeover repeatedly throughout the course of the last 6 years, and in fact advocated, we now know, for the federal government to follow up Massachusetts as a model, including taxing people and fining people who don't purchase insurance. In a sense, in real time, in real point of fact, mandating them to buy health care, or you'd be fined if you don't. And also, all of the other things like insurance exchanges that are government run and operated and managed, the limited number of policies that are going to be available, requirements on employers, and et cetera. This is President Obama said was a blueprint for Obamacare. And Governor Romney defends, it's the amazing thing, he defends the policies in Massachusetts. He defends it as the right thing to do. He defends a government takeover of healthcare as the right approach to dealing with the healthcare problems in Massachusetts. Defends it as something that states could adopt, and in fact is advocated for states to adopt a similar program, and now we know advocated for the federal government to follow its lead. So, This is the key, that he has defended it, he's advocated it, and he is uniquely disqualified in making the case to the American public as to why Barack Obama should be taken out of office because of Obamacare. And the only argument is, he's now changed his mind, and the Etch-a-Sketch is out, and he's turned over the Etch-a-Sketch, shaken it, and said, no, now I don't support a federal mandate, even though he advocated for one when the bill was under discussion in 2009. We need a candidate that's going to be able to go after President Obama on the issue that is the signature issue that won us the 2010 election, is the signature issue in this race. 75% of people in swing states, according to one of the surveys, oppose the federal mandate, oppose Obamacare. 67% of Americans in the most recent survey oppose Obamacare and the mandate. This is a salient and important issue, and Governor Romney has tried to flip-flop, tried to be all over the place, but the one thing he won't flip-flop is that he believes that government-run health care is the right approach to dealing with the health care issue. It is the wrong thing for the Republican nominee for president to be advocating. Do you have to take questions,
sir? Yes, okay, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. This will place your question in the order it was received. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our first question comes from Zilla Stevenson.
Hi, this is Zilla Stevenson. I rate Zilla of the Resistance. I have chronic Lyme disease. I'm a late-stage Lyme, and I know that a lot of doctors will not and cannot treat it because of regulation, and there's actually a bureaucratic witch hunt against Lyme-literate doctors, and also there's a whole lot of cronyism going on between the industry to keep people sick. I know that a lot of doctors have gone underground already to treat people And also, doctors in other fields are going off the grid to get away from Obamacare so they can treat their patients. I know that you fought to get help for Lyme disease sufferers when you were a senator, and I was wondering how you think Obamacare is going to impact the people that are trying to fight to survive Lyme disease and the doctors who are trying to treat them.
I think you bring up a very important issue, which is, medicine is part science, part art. I mean, there are certainly different theories and different ways of approaching, medical treatments. Everything from holistic medicine to homeopathic medicine, as well as what would be called American traditional medicine. And one of the things that I think is important is that we're open to different things, and that whether people want within their medical availability of different services, and of course Lyme disease, there's the whole variety of other conditions where there's real controversy as to what the best way is to treat these things. And in the private sector system, you let the market sort of work that out. You let what people want to do, as well as what they're willing to spend their money on, and let consumers make that choice. But it's not going to happen in Obamacare. There are going to be standards of practice. There's going to be incentives to treat in a certain way. There'll be disincentives to treat in other ways, and you will have more of a standardization of care. And some people say, well, that's a good thing. Well, if we were talking about something that standardization of care is, on certain things that are broadly and widely accepted, yeah, it may be true. But there are a lot of areas of medicine which there's still a lot of unknowns. And again, this is going to be forcing folks to sort of consolidate and not necessarily give people the kind of choices that they want and the quality of care and the kind of care that they want. So that's one of the reasons, I'm a big supporter of medical savings accounts, believe that people should be able to control their own health care expenditures and not have either government or insurance companies micromanage them.
Thank you.
Okay, our next question is from Peter Ngimi.
Hello, Senator Santorum. I noticed that the Etch-a-Sketch moment from Mr. Furstrom has pretty much gone viral. Is this, in your opinion, if the party chooses Governor Romney as the nominee, is this theme that the Democrats in general and President Obama in particular will literally pick up, because the Etch-a-Sketch is a very simple thing for everyone to understand in terms of explaining flip-flops?
It's a simple thing for everyone to understand because it fits. That's the problem. Governor Romney has been known and is known for adapting his position based on the race that he's running and the audience he's in front of. And I find it, a telling coincidence that you saw his campaign talk about him hitting the reset button. They hit the reset button just last week in Puerto Rico, where I went down there and was asked a question that I get asked here in America. Should people speak English in our country? Should that be the official language of our country? And I said, yes, it should be the official language of our country, and that means every state in the country. And so if you want to be a state, then everybody has to be able to speak English, because that's the language of America. It's the language of success. It doesn't mean people can't speak other languages. In fact, do speak other languages. That's fine. But you have to be fluent in English, and that's going to be one of the things that we think is important for our country. And I was very clear about that with the people of Puerto Rico. I knew that wouldn't be popular, but I wasn't going to say something up here in America and on the mainland, and then go to the American territories and say something different because, I can get a few delegates. Mitt Romney had absolutely no problem with doing so. He supposedly takes the same position I have, which is, American, that English is the official language of his country. Yeah, I'm told, I've read that he actually opposed bilingual education in Massachusetts. No one asked the question whether he would accept Puerto Rico as a state and allow them to have, not required to speak English. And as according to the Census Bureau, only 15% of Puerto Ricans speak English.
Governor Romney had absolutely no problem with throwing under his principles, throwing under his position, where he espouses to Republican and conservative primary voters and Tea Party people in the United States. He has no problem with throwing that under the bus and in order to get the 20 votes in Puerto Rico. And my guess is, as Warren, if someone gets an opportunity to question Governor Romney on this, he'll hit the reset button again and try to finesse this. As if he didn't say that when he went to Puerto Rico and denied that he said that or that it was misinterpreted. We had a rare moment of candor in the Romney campaign about how this campaign would run in the general election. And I think we don't have to wait till the general election. You're seeing it already as Governor Romney continues to reinvent himself and issues depending on the group he's in front of.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Mike Rogers.
Good afternoon, Senator. I think actually I just didn't put my hand down fast enough. Beat me up to that. So it looks like the South is being very kind to you, Senator. What do you think it'll take to tip the northern states in your favor? Your message is absolutely consistent, and I like that. There may be some things I disagree with and some things I agree with, but I know exactly what I'm getting, and that is truly something worthy of respect. How do you think you're going to be able to carry a broader range of states in order to make the math add up?
Obviously we've done really a remarkable job, you know, given the amount of resources that we've had deployed against us, and get outspent 21-1 in the Chicago media market, and still hang in there and finish still a very strong second. I think is just telling you how strong our message is and how committed and energetic those who want to follow us. And, as you know, Illinois is not a conservative state by any stretch of the imagination. We've been hanging in there in spite of all of the media talk about inevitability and all of the, all we need to get out to win and beat Obama. And he's the one to beat Obama. Yet, if you look at the polling numbers more recently, we're the ones actually in the swing states. If you don't look at the national, look at the swing states. And who does better in these swing states that are going to make the difference in who wins the presidential election? And it's us. And that's, again, in spite of the media narrative to the contrary, and particularly the mainstream media, their uncomfortableness of someone who dares to be a social conservative and actually occasionally talk about it. So we've come, I think, a long way. And as you see from most of the polling data, this race is tightening, and we feel very comfortable that we're going to do very, very well as this race goes on, and have the opportunity, as this race, I think, is clearly in most people's minds narrowed to two candidates. I think we'll have a better opportunity in some of these key swing states that are coming forward, like Texas and Pennsylvania, and even some of the other states up in the Mid-Atlantic area, that we can run and do well with our message, and particularly given the clear intention now of the Romney camp to say and do anything to win, and show that they will be a very different candidate in the fall than they are now.
I think they have proven that they're the establishment tool, and as much as that's the way the Republican establishment has thought for, 40 years, I think your message of freedom is what's resonating, frankly.
And that's, if you go in any of my speeches, that's what I talk about. I talk about freedom. I was, again, the incredible disingenuousness of the Romney campaign, taking one of the things I say, and I say, by the way, in every single speech, that this election isn't about unemployment rates, it isn't about national security, it's about, as I've been commenting now since that quote was out there about, oh, I don't care about unemployment. It's like saying to a parent, I don't care about my child's fever. Of course I care about my child's fever, but I want to know what's causing the fever. And I know what's causing the fear. I know what's causing the unemployment rate and the problems of this country. And that is government control and a lack of freedom in America. That is a great threat to our health as a country. And that's what I talk about. And I agree with you. It is resonating. It's resonating so much that Governor Romney has tried to borrow it. The problem is, his policies don't stack up with his rhetoric.
Okay, we have time for one more quickly, and then we need to move on to the next one.
Okay, our last question comes from Lisa Gross.
Hey, Rick, it's Lisa from Catholic Venture.
Hey.
I want to know your thoughts about the challenges with the mainstream media. You know, you said that Fox News was shilling for Mitt Romney, and I agree with you on that, and it's not just Fox, it's all the major networks. What are your thoughts about the challenge for you as far as that goes and what the blogs can do to help get the message out of what the reality of the situation is? You mentioned the comment about not caring about the unemployment rate. They will just, you'll have this great speech, and they'll take one comment out and play that snippet as if that's all you're about.
Well, it's hard because it's not just one snippet. It's taking it completely out of context. I mean, I had this question again today by somebody, and all the embeds were there. Invented reporters who follow me encouraged me. I said, I want you all to step up here. And I said, do I say this in every speech? And they said, yes, you said it in every speech. You said it for 8 months. And they all know. Everybody knows that I say this consistently, that the most important issue is freedom. Not that these other issues aren't important, but that's not the fundamental issue. And the Romney people know it because they've had people at all these speeches too. And it is disingenuous. The media, even the people who are the inventors who are feeding the stories to their editors, they know that this is a complete distortion of my position, and yet they follow the narrative who they're out there trying to promote, and that's fine. We just have to continue to plug away. And to the extent that you folks out here can proclaim the truth, I'm not asking for any favors from anybody. Just call it like it is. That's what I try to do when I'm out there in the stump. And if you folks have the integrity to go out and do the same thing, you provide a great service to a media that clearly has let's just put it this way. They have a narrative they want to tell, and they're telling it.
Right. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Lisa. I appreciate it. I apologize for having to jump off, but I appreciate the opportunity to be with you folks and look forward to doing this again soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, this will conclude our conference. Thank you for joining us today.
The moderator.